Today's podcast is brought to you by Chikara Wrestle Factory, 4711 Wingate Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they specialize in lucha libre, torasu, European, British, and German styles, mixed martial arts, and American pro wrestling, all built into the curriculum at the Wrestle Factory, where they strive to create the most well-rounded performers active today. Hey, yo, pro wrestling podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And to make it a little bit more interesting, we're shooting for our first 100 subscribers on YouTube, and we're going to be giving some random shout-outs to our newest subscribers as we try to reach our goal. So give us a hand, let anybody know who you think may be entertained by this podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. Look, we've been away for a couple days, crazy weekend and things like that, but there is so much going on in the news of, in the world of wrestling that we're going to jam-pack this episode as best we can. We may have to break it down into more than one just to cover everything. We're going to get started with Stone Cold Steve Austin and the future of the Stone Cold Podcast. It looks as if the Stone Cold Podcast, which we only reported about a week or two ago, was in danger of being canceled and leaving the WWE Network for the foreseeable future, now has a path back to the programming. And the path is if Stone Cold Steve Austin can get The Undertaker to do an episode. Now, the concern I have with him doing an episode for the Stone Cold Podcast is Steve Austin tends to like to have a very real presentation, and The Undertaker likes to remain in character. Now, I understand at WrestleMania it was supposed to be the retiring of that character, but I don't know if the fans are ready for Mark Calloway instead of The Undertaker. I don't know if the fans are ready to hear the guy talk like a regular guy. I think they still have their fandom going on and want The Undertaker. I think from WWE's standpoint, this is a really good thing to bring Stone Cold's podcast to the network whenever they can. I don't think they should have to have a guest the caliber of The Undertaker to make that happen. But if that's what we got to do to get the job done and get it so Stone Cold comes back to WWE programming, then absolutely, let's get this thing going. The next little tidbit of news is returns to Impact Wrestling. I'm going to start with Sanjay Dutt and Low Ki. Sanjay Dutt has been one of the best cruiserweights in the world for a lot of years. Low Ki has been even longer. Low Ki, a huge mainstay in Ring of Honor, had a short stint with WWE at one point, had a decent career with Impact Wrestling in their infancy, a stalwart of their X division, and now, with Jeff Jarrett being at the forefront of the company, it looks as though he's trying to redo the company in his original image. The way he saw things in the past was that the X division was an opportunity to provide real great wrestling action and draw in fans that otherwise would turn the channel and keep them stigmatized to their product. And it's working. I've been saying for a couple episodes now that Impact Wrestling is really turning the corner to becoming a very solid promotion. Their product has been very good in the last few weeks, and I haven't been able to say that in a very, very long time. Hopefully they continue this trend, and later in this episode we're going to get into some very specific things they're doing that I think really are leading Impact Wrestling into the future. And some of those include people like Sanjay Dutt, Low Ki. So, moving on, Paige. Paige is back in news because it has been announced that it is not expected that she will ever return to WWE TV throughout the duration of this contract. Once she gets clearance for her neck injury, it is expected that they will negotiate her release or keep her off television until her contract runs out. This shouldn't be a big surprise for anybody, considering the way Alberto El Patron has been talking about WWE the last couple weeks in these videos that you find online. But the reality is WWE has really, they're the ones who messed this situation up. You didn't have to make Alberto El Patron the star of the company or anything like that, but you did need to maintain a good civil working relationship with a guy who's going to be marrying one of the best divas or women's wrestlers or whatever you want to call them coming out in the last several years. Paige is an amazing talent. She and AJ Lee, in a lot of ways, redefined the women's revolution long before we used the term women's revolution. And having her on the roster would provide some amazing matches. Stuff against Charlotte or Alexa Bliss, Bayley. Put her in the ring with Sasha Banks and just let them tear the house down. That is the kind of thing that Paige would be great for. And instead, WWE has essentially alienated her and made it so her return is virtually impossible. I know some of these things have been out in the news a couple days. I have been away, but Mario Ranallo, his situation's gotten even more interesting. He is now officially parted ways with WWE. There was a press release from WWE on their webpage. He said some things on Twitter. And JBL even came out and spoke. And what's bizarre about it is JBL made reference to making some poor choices in his younger career where he did and acted in a certain way that was not necessarily the best, but was all in good humor back in the day. And he is claiming that in a lot of ways, those old stories are being brought up and trying to draw a connection with the way he has been speaking nowadays with someone like Mario Ranallo. And the issue I have is that it doesn't really matter when it took place. The fact that it took place at all is an issue. JBL needed to be a professional, and he hasn't been acting like a professional in a very long time. And it has led to a situation where you have a legitimate talent who had an intellectual disorder of sorts, this bipolar disorder, and he needed to be treated fairly and equitably and treated like an employee. And that's what they are. They're employees. If I go into any other job or any other place of endeavor and I start throwing down insults towards people who are experiencing stressors and mental challenges in the form of bipolar disorder or anything like that, I'm going to lose my job because you just can't do that. JBL, on the flip side, is sitting in WWE programming every week, and they have essentially let it go. They've let it happen. They reinforced in their press release how they take bullying seriously and all these other things. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm not saying I have a problem with JBL. I don't. I actually like JBL's work. But at the end of the day, you have to be held accountable to what your actions are in a publicly traded company so you protect the company. And I think WWE really dropped the ball on this one. In the same vein, we have comments that WWE, I saw published on Cage Side Seats and on Sports, the Bleacher Report, I'm sorry, on the Bleacher Report, that now WWE is discussing potentially bringing in Mike Goldberg, former announcer for UFC, to replace Mario Ranallo. I'd actually be okay with that. I know they had wanted him originally way back a couple years ago, I want to say 2005, 6-ish, somewhere in that time frame, and he turned them down because he wanted to stay with UFC. Well, obviously that's not working out anymore, so this may present a unique opportunity to bring him in and really fill that void that Ranallo is going to leave. Alberto El Patron, talked about him earlier. He had a big week. He became the new Global Force Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, defeating Magnus at the Impact tapings. And a lot of people are like, why? GFW, for all that it held the promise of something awesome in the past, has really been relegated to being nothing in the last year or so, to the point that Jeff Jarrett was literally selling gold, doing that whole turning your gold stuff on the webpage. And now GFW is getting like a main slot on the roster for Impact Wrestling, which is obviously leading to title unifications and a merging of the brands, which they have now officially announced. I don't like the fact that they put El Patron over Magnus so quickly. It makes it look like Magnus wasn't as good a champion as he really is. Magnus is a great talent. He was amazing as TNA champion a few years back. I understand that now this puts an opportunity out there for Patron to challenge Lashley for the Impact Championship to unify the titles, and maybe that makes for an interesting storyline, but I think it does nothing but hurt the character of Magnus, and I'm not a fan of that in any situation. Ring of Honor news, Ken Anderson, Mr. Anderson, will be making his debut for the company. He's going to be facing Marty Scurll for the Television Championship. Scurll has held on to that title over pretty much everybody in the company for quite a long time now, which I find interesting considering if you follow his career at all, in all the independents, he's been losing a ton of matches. But the minute you get to Ring of Honor, he's unstoppable with the Television Championship. But Ken Anderson will be challenging him in his debut match for the company, which also begs the question, like, what do you have to do to become qualified to challenge for a championship at Ring of Honor when you could just walk in the door and be like, hey, how you doing? I want a title shot. And you get one. A little bit ridiculous if you ask me. Another people moving around and changing places and faces, Tajiri is gone from WWE. He was brought back in January to revitalize and revamp some of the NXT roster. He made very few appearances, one or two appearances over the whole time he was there, and now he's already gone from the promotion. He's going back to Japan, and he's been removed from the roster for NXT. My problem with this is that WWE almost makes it seem like he's 47 years old, and because of his age, suddenly they don't want to promote Tajiri. But the reality is, if Ric Flair could get medically cleared tomorrow and wanted to perform, they would let him. If Jerry Lawler had not had a heart attack, they would let him. You know, Tajiri has not had anything go on that tells you he can't still go with the best of them, and they just cut him out of the program because he's an older gentleman. There's a lot of wrestlers in their 40s now. You know, that may seem bizarre to some people, but there's a lot of 40-some-year-old wrestlers, and they do just fine. Actually, I was reading a piece the other day that Glacier is still wrestling. WCW's, you know, Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero character is still kicking around the independents at, like, 50-something. It's wrestling's not like football and baseball where you get out younger. You know, this is a situation where you can tap into the talents of Tajiri, and if I were them, I would have kept him around just to help mentor people at the Performance Center, which I understand he did a little bit of guest coaching. But he could really be something when they're trying to expand so much into China and Japan. He's the kind of guy that would really have benefited their program, and instead he's headed back to the motherland. So it's a shame because I actually am a huge fan of Tajiri. I have a great picture with him down at the Philadelphia International Airport, and I've always been a huge fan. He's such a nice guy. I really would have loved to have seen him on the main roster once or twice. Matt Sydal, also known as Evan Bourne when he was in WWE, has made his debut on Impact Wrestling. He defeated Trevor Lee when he came back to the company. He hasn't been there since 2006, and he adds some serious depth to the cruiserweight division, something that they need, or should I say cruiserweight, X division. I always say cruiserweight because you would think that that's really what the division is meant to be, but it's not necessarily about weight class in Impact Wrestling. It's about that high-paced, fast style that the X division brings, whereas, yes, on the cruiserweights, you have that fast-paced style, but you also have some physicality when you have people like Neville and Austin Aries and such. So, but yeah, Matt Sydal appearing for Impact Wrestling, huge gain for them, big boost to their X division, and I wish him all the luck in the world. I think he really got a raw deal by WWE when he screwed up his foot, never being brought back to television because the guy's got so much to offer. Speaking of people who are no longer with WWE, Eva Marie apparently is done with WWE once her contract and the Total Divas show wraps up. She's been off television since August. She got hit with one of those suspensions for the policy, the wellness policy. She hasn't been back. She hasn't done anything of substance in forever. And I don't really feel like this is much of a loss for WWE. But it would have been nice to see her get any kind of push at any point in time. And I don't know why they've kept her off TV this long. They should have brought her back a long time ago and done something since they were investing the money in her. Going back to switching gears again, going back to Impact Wrestling, something I'm very excited about is the debut of a new tag team. Their names are War Wilcox and Mayweather Wilcox, better known as Jax Dane and Crimson. Crimson, former TNA wrestler, and Jax Dane, former NWA champion on the independent scene. They are now the Veterans of War tag team, and they are being entered into the GFW Tag Team Championship Tournament as the Veterans of War, and I am so thrilled to see Crimson back in the ring. I feel like he never got a fair shake when he was in Impact Wrestling before, and hopefully now this tag team will offer him the opportunity to really maximize his potential and really be something in the wrestling world. One of these days, I'd love to see him in a WWE ring. I've always been a fan of his and Matt Morgan's. When they were a tag team, I was all sorts of marked out because I thought that was just a killer team waiting to happen. And for some reason, it just, for one reason or another, didn't work out. But hopefully the Veterans Award does work out. I actually am a fan of Jax Dane as well. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But interesting that they paired these two up. I'm interested to see what they do going forward. Baron Corbin right now is the favorite to win the Money in the Bank pay-per-view in a short period of time. Baron Corbin, we all know he's in line for a huge push this year. The Money in the Bank would be the perfect way to get him to the World Championship picture without having to sacrifice or compromise a lot of the matchups that we've got in the future that we're looking forward to. You can put him out there, let him win the briefcase, let him take the title for a short period of time, and then eventually lose the championship back to someone who you want to see in the WrestleMania main event picture. But I'm very curious to see how they book this. This could be pretty interesting. He is the favorite. There are others that are, I don't want to say they're the favorite, but they're not far from the top of the list. AJ Styles is at the top of the list. People like that, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, they're all at the top of the list. I don't know why, because I don't think they really need the push. I feel like they're already in position to win. If I was going to put somebody there who's an established star, it would be Dolph Ziggler, since his character has been pretty much destroyed over the last year. It'd be nice to see that be a way to get him back into the world title picture. A lot of fans, I'm sure, would appreciate that. But we'll have to see how things play out with Money in the Bank. And then over the weekend, the big news was a very bizarre situation. The Hardys appearing for House of Hardcore. Now, WWE had allowed that when they negotiated their return to the company, but the understanding was they would make appearances but not wrestle. And in this situation, Tommy Dreamer had booked the Ring of Honor champions, the Young Bucks, to come in and perform, and they were supposed to come in and have a match with Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray, and instead, based on some of the conflicts of schedule, the Hardys end up being put into the match, and my understanding is, and this I've also seen the same thing reported on WrestleZone.com, that that in the end of the day, Tommy Dreamer went out of his way to contact World Wrestling Entertainment, going all the way up to Triple H and Vince McMahon himself, asking for permission to allow the Hardys to wrestle at House of Hardcore to make sure that they delivered on the card that was advertised instead of one of these cards subject to change things. The Spirit Squad showed up. They did a nice job, but at the end of the night, the Hardys actually had a broken appearance. The Broken Hardys were there in all their glory. They defeated Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray in a tag team match, the main event. Great match. Not a lot of high spots. That was part of the deal, apparently, is that, you know, they couldn't do anything that put Jeff or Matt in danger of being injured. That was the big caveat that WWE put to it. But it worked out really well for all parties involved, and it would be really nice to see more of this in the future. Now, I don't expect that to happen. However, what I am impressed with is Triple H and Vince McMahon being willing to make an accommodation for Tommy Dreamer's promotion. I think that was a real stand-up thing to do, and I'm very happy to report that that's what they did. Going to move on to TNA and GFW's booking insanity. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this, but they have been booking some really strange stuff. So there's Impact tapings going on all week. Last week you had the reemergence of Scott Steiner. He's back in the company. He's going to be teaming up for the Slammiversary. He'll be going against Joe Park's team. You've got the return of several talents. You saw the Chris Adonis. You saw Magnus. You saw Matt Morgan. Evan Bourne. You saw, or I should say Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal. I'm going to be stuck on Evan Bourne forever since WWE is my primary view, but you saw Sanjay Dutt, you saw Low Ki. Low Ki comes in and he wins the X Division title right away. He's already been taped for the next several episodes, defending that title in some amazing matches. And then you've got some of this craziness around the World Championship. So what they do is they had El Patron win the GFW Championship. Then they held a triple threat match, no disqualification match, to determine the number one contender to face Lashley at Slammiversary for the championship, which ended up being won by EC3, which I was thrilled to see him back into the main event picture. But then in another taping, they have El Patron say he wants a shot at Lashley. He defends the GFW Championship against EC3. He defeats EC3. And so now at Slammiversary, we're going to see Alberto El Patron versus Lashley, GFW champion versus Impact Wrestling champion. And it's nuts. It's too hard to keep up with. Like, I understand what they're doing trying to merge these two companies, but I'd love to see just more, some of it make a little more sense. Now, it doesn't take away from the in-ring action. In-ring action is phenomenal. I'm loving what they're doing. They did a great thing with the Tag Team Championship. The tournament wraps up. You get to see LAX win the GFW tag titles. So they have unified those with the Impact tag titles. They defeat the Veterans of War in the final. So if you're not into spoilers, people, I'm sorry. I'm ruining some of the next couple weeks. But, you know, it's cool what they've been doing. You know, so gotta keep your eyes on Impact Wrestling. They are shaking things up in the wrestling world, and they are putting out some incredible product right now. Gonna move on to SportsGedia.com reporting that John Cena's proposal to Nikki Bella actually came from WWE executive Kevin Dunn. It was apparently an idea that he brought to Vince McMahon way back in January, and they spent a whole lot of time talking to Cena about it. It's being said that John Cena really wasn't a fan of the idea at first. It was originally booked that Cena was going to go against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And if you guys remember, like right in like the middle of January, it started shifting. People started seeing odds about who was going to face who at WrestleMania. Suddenly it was The Undertaker and Roman Reigns, and we didn't understand. And here the reason is that there was issue with John Cena being told to do this proposal. And he was supposed to go to WrestleMania and do this whole proposal thing. And as a reward, that's why he was given his 16th World Championship run, was as his incentive for going ahead with this proposal idea. I actually hate it because now we missed out on the John Cena Undertaker match that we've all been dying for. For what? For what feels like an artificial proposal? I wonder how Nikki Bella feels right now knowing that this is how things went down. The initial Royal Rumble plans called for AJ Styles to actually lose the championship to The Undertaker. So now we missed out on seeing Styles versus The Undertaker. Then he was going to drop the title back to AJ Styles at the Elimination Chamber. Again, we get to miss The Undertaker in the chamber. Cena was going to be the one eliminating The Undertaker from the Elimination Chamber. That's what would have set up the WrestleMania match. See, that right there would have been amazing booking. Instead, we got the garbage that we got. John Cena and Nikki Bella in a mixed tag team match against, and they win against a team that's there every week doing their thing and who's going to be on television, who gets moved to Raw like a week later, makes no sense to me. I don't know. I'm not real thrilled finding out that this is how things went down. We're going to move on to our last segment, which is our fantasy booking time. We're going to wrap up the first round. I'm going to give you all 8 of the remaining matches just so we can get them out of here. All right, we want to move on to round 3. So match number 1, Eddie Guerrero versus Kazuchika Okada. Match number 2, Jeff Hardy versus Pentagon Dark. Match 3, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Christopher Daniels. Match 4 is Jerry Lawler versus Larry Zbysko. I don't know if I've ever seen that match. Match 5, The Great Khali versus Yokozuna. I would love to see that, as horrible as it would probably be. Next match is Vader versus JBL, two hard-nosed, tough guys who are known for being stiff in the ring. The next match, number 7, AJ Styles taking on Nick Bockwinkel, which in my opinion may be the greatest match in this tournament so far. And in the last match of the second round, Dave Bautista takes on Bobby Roode in a match that I don't think any of us will ever get the chance to see, but one that I find oddly interesting. So put your choices for those 8 matches in the comment section on YouTube. I will tabulate your results, and I will get your choices moved on to the next round. That's all the time we have for this episode. Tune in with us next time for all the rundown of the latest news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects used in today's show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games and by going to www.thegamecrafter.com/sketchypeople to pick up your copy today. And to AlleyRepair.com. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all of your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. We want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. We encourage you to go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com. To learn more about what Mr. Fro can do for you on your path to higher education, remember, Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsjsports.com/WWE for my latest articles on the world of wrestling. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.